Reiner Schog from TSN joins us. Schogger, how you doing?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing?
Excellent. Busy time. Insanity begins tomorrow. So the overspending. I know you've been tweeting lots at the Oilers and Fan Camp. Now, we all know they can't officially discuss a contract, but what numbers do you think they would be discussing? Fan coming off a $1.3 million deal.
Oh, probably, I'd say 4 years, between $3.25 million and $4 million, somewhere in there.
Huh. Okay.
That's I know that's a bit of a wide margin, but free agency, you got to pay guys. You got to pay guys a lot, probably a little bit more than they're worth. And
Bit more than they're worth is fine. It's when you start paying them a lot more than you're worth, that's where you get screwed over. Like, look at how many buyouts we've seen just of guys signed in the last 2 years in free agency. That's the thing to me that is laughable. I would love it if there was a caveat that said, okay, if you sign a free agent, you can't buy him out for 2 years minimum, or three or something.
Yeah, well, I don't think the players want that, because then they just end up in the minors. They want to be able to be bought out and move on if the team doesn't see a use for them. So yeah, I know it's funny, and it's the funniest part of it all is we know when it's happening. Everybody goes, "That's crazy! That's crazy! That's just crazy!" Yet it still gets done. It still happens, and then their buyouts eventually come down the road. Like, when the Cavalier re-signed for all that money, it's crazy. Everyone's going, what? And it'll happen with Brad Richards here. It'll happen. It'll just continue to happen because teams think they can change guys. Teams are desperate to find some way to make a difference. And that's why it's free agent insanity. And you can only go so far into it, or you can really hurt yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. It won't be, you always have to, there should be a sign, enter with caution, but it rarely happens. The Edmonton Oilers, let's talk about the Sam Gagner trade.
Sure.
Tampa Bay makes that trade because they were either going to buy out Sam Gagner at 1/3 of his contract, because they could, if they had to buy out Purcell, it would have been a 2/3. So they make the deal. Edmonton keeps Purcell. The money's pretty much the same for Edmonton. They save $300,000. And then Tampa keeps the 1/3 and ships it off to Phoenix, forces Phoenix to take another contract and gets a 6th. Who do you think Tampa Bay then is looking for in free agency? Because clearly they're clearing the money to try to bring somebody in free agency.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I to me, they need somebody on the right side still. So they've got Kucherov coming, Brett Connolly coming as well, real good player that I think they want to have playing there. They've got Ryan Callahan there, but I could see room for a significant body on the right side for them. They're pretty good down the middle. I mean, they've got Tyler Johnson, they've got Steve Stamkos, and they've got Valtteri Filppula as their 1-2-3, not in that order. So they're pretty good there, and they're pretty solid on the left side as well. And they'll have, Drouin will be there. Like, they're going to be in good shape on the left side. So to me, the right wing is a spot that potentially they need some help. I don't know. Do you look at chasing Jerome Iginla for that position? I'm not sure. Just throwing that out there. But also on defense, too. The one thing we saw, and I know they just picked up Garrison, but in that first round, their defense is way too soft. Way, 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 way too soft.
Agreed.
So I'm not sure if they could maybe find a big physical defenseman, but something along. I know that those are their needs. So maybe that's what their clearance space to try and grab.
Jerome Iginla is interesting. I was talking about it earlier. You know, to me, he's a fit in Colorado, potentially a fit in Minnesota. Colorado, I think, now I know they need defensemen first because their defense has to improve. But knowing Joe Sakic and Patrick Waugh and their connection to Jerome Iginla and understanding the importance of veterans, I would think they'd want to add. But then they go out and add Daniel Briere, which surprises me, that trade. They get older and smaller for a guy who has the exact same money, only 1 year less in his contract.
Well, does that not make you question if Paul Stastny's going to resign there?
Yeah.
The fact that they went out and got Daniel Briere? When I read that, I kind of went, maybe things aren't going well with Stastny. And not that he's going to play those minutes, but maybe they're not overly optimistic about getting that done and need to add a skill center, even if he plays on the fourth line sometimes, or even if he just is on the second unit power play. I wondered what that meant for Stastny. So I found that interesting that they went ahead and did that. But, I mean, the Oilers are in the market, too, for that same guy, right? The Oilers need a number two center here. They got to get somebody that can come in and play some minutes, take some heat off Nugent Hopkins and shield Draisaitl a little bit. And they need to find themselves a second-line center who can come in and contribute and do that for a few years. So I don't know. I don't know where that answer lies, but they have to add somebody down the middle, because down the middle, it's nothing but bad right now.
Oh, without a doubt. What do you think of Komarov? Any chance you think they bring him in? Or what about Peter Mueller?
Yeah, good questions. I wasn't super pumped about Komarov back when I saw him. He was at the Leafs when I saw him. I was kind of on him. Mueller's a bigger kid, right? Like Mueller's, I think he's 6'3" or something like that.
Yeah, he's soft as margarine, but yeah, he's big.
Very, very soft. But yeah, he's a heavier player for sure. I'm not sure. Like, more soft, right? Like they did this in Purcell. Right, like Purcell, he's gonna be a bit of a frustrating player for Oilers fans to watch, because he's 6'2" and a bit and a couple hundred pounds, and he can actually skate really well, but he refuses to hit anything out there. Like he had 13 hits all year last year in 81 games. Like you have to try to not hit people to only end up with 13. You just inadvertently run into somebody and get marked for a hit 13 times in a year. So that, over an 82-game schedule, that's going to be frustrating for Oilers fans. But he's shown he can put up numbers when it matters. Like, he had a real good playoff a few years for them. The thing about him is he's a laid-back personality. I talked to the Tampa scout about him, and he's a laid-back personality. And if somehow you can kick him in the rear end, he's got some untapped offensive potential. So who knows? Maybe a change of scenery will help him out. But the Oilers, they definitely do need to find some more offense, in particular down the middle.
What's your evaluation of Purcell?
Well, like I just said, I mean, I think that for his size to not really have any physicality to his game, I think over the long haul, I think that'll be frustrating for, you know, people who want more size and grit in their top six. This guy's taller, but they actually give up grit in moving Sam Gagné in exchange for this guy. They're actually not really any harder to play against with Teddy Purcell there instead. But Sam Gagné had to move on, and they needed to get a usable body in return for him. Because if they didn't get a usable body, now they're trying to find somebody in free agency and overpaying. And at least Purcell's only got a couple years left on this overpayment. So, it was a move that had to be made. But I'll tell you what, the Oilers, they need some help down the middle, and this didn't really address that.
Well, I didn't expect Sam Gagné to address that need, though. You can't expect to trade Sam Gagné, an underperforming center, for a center who's going to perform. I don't know why anybody expected that, to be honest.
Yeah, no, and I'm not saying that I expected that either. But when you look at what they've got, with Sam now gone, you got Nugent Hopkins, Gordon, Lander, and Arcabello. It's just that's not even close enough. And then you get Draisaitl, who likely on that depth chart is penciled in, right? So right now it's probably Nugent Hopkins, Draisaitl, Gordon, and that they need to improve that. They can't throw the kid into the deep end like that. Even Nugent Hopkins at this point still needs somebody to insulate him a little bit.
Oh, exactly. They likely need two more centers. And my concern, Ryan, is they might not do that. And that Leon Draisaitl right now, to me, seems almost like a lock that he's going to start this season next year.
Yeah. Well, they have to. They have to find a way, and even if they got to overpay somebody to take a shorter term deal, I don't care who it is, whether it's Grabowski, whether it's David Legwand, whether it's Olli Jokinen, Marcel Gotch is a guy that would come in and play in the number three spot. Draisaitl would play in the number two spot. But between Gotch and Gordon, you'd be able to insulate Draisaitl quite a bit with defensive zone starts. Both guys can win faceoffs. I really think Marcel Gotch is an option for the Oilers. I don't know for a fact that they're in on him, but I think he would work. Brian Boyle, similar. Steve Ott even would be interesting in that position. I know Ott's going to ask for a ton of money, and that might just make the deal undoable. But they do need to add a veteran centerman to play ahead of Draisaitl and with Nugent Hopkins as the 1-2 punch if they're going to keep this kid. They got to keep him as a three and give him a little bit of help.
Well, even as a three, though, right? Like, that's to me, I still lean towards another year junior. I know they won't do it, but I think in the bigger picture, they'd be better off long term.
Yeah, that might be the case, buddy, but this is the problem, right? So you draft a kid and you bring him into camp, and holy smokes, look at that. He was your second best center in camp. Huh. So now you got a coach who wants to win games. You've got a fan base that's dying to see the kid and desperate for something to cheer for in a winning season. And so the kid was your second best center in camp, and now you're going to send him back because you didn't bring in enough guys to compete. It's a huge problem in this organization, and in particular up front. There's nobody pushing anybody, and that becomes an issue of accountability. You need to hold Taylor Hall accountable. You need to hold Jordan Eberle accountable. You need to hold Sam Gagner when he was here, Nugent Hopkins. The way you do that, like, how do you think they hold the guys in Los Angeles accountable? You know, they hold those guys accountable because there are two or three guys sitting there on the bench waiting to chew up your minutes and your offensive minutes. I mean, they have those guys. The Oilers don't have those guys. So the accountability is very hard for a head coach to, what's he going to do? I'll, you know, have a seat, kiddo. I'm going to play who? Matt Hendricks in your spot? There's no upward pressure for
exactly
any of these positions.
Yep.
And that's an issue.
Totally agree with that. That's a big one. Ryan Rashog from TSN joined us. Shogger, the interview process went from the 25th until today. What were you hearing as far as, you know, potential destinations? Do you think the Oilers have a realistic shot at Kuhlman? Because I haven't heard that they've had any serious discussions. Have you?
Yeah, I haven't heard about any serious discussions either. I think they have a shot at Fane. I think they have a legitimate shot at Fane. I think they're right there. I know they've met with him. I don't believe he came to town, but I believe they did meet with him. Presentation was made. It was apparently pretty impressive, and I think that they have a good shot with him. I know that they have met with Englund's camp, similar presentation made, and that, you know, there's a chance that Derek Englund, if the Oilers decide to pull the trigger, could be an Oiler after tomorrow. We'll wait and see on that one. Really, that's the only hard info that I have. It wouldn't surprise me if there was some sort of a presentation made with Kyle Quincy as well. I could see him being a defenseman that they have targeted to try and bring in, play top 4 minutes anyways. Between he and Nikitin, you've got a couple of other options now for your second pairing. So I wouldn't surprise me if they were in fairly hard on him. I mean, those are the main names that I would throw out there at this point. It would not surprise me, though. Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if the Oilers had dumped a big money short-term offer on the table for Dan Boyle. You know, like they still, Kevin Lowe still has a say, and I know they like to big game hunt. So it wouldn't surprise me if something like that had been done. Throw $13 million on the table for a 2-year deal for Dan Boyle and see what happens. Now, I don't think Dan Boyle's taking that deal, and I'm not saying that happened, but I don't think that they're just going middle of the way either. I do think, and I think they're going to take a swing at Stastny. Why wouldn't they? Solves a lot of problems for them, and they have the money. So whether they could ever get those guys or not, I'm not sure. And by the way, if Josh Georges would ever agree to come to Edmonton, that's the guy you go get, because he has been a stabilizing force for PK Subban for the last few years, and is exactly what Justin Schultz needs.
Well, that would help, but now supposedly he has extended his list to because if he doesn't have a full no movement clause, so in order to buy him out, they'd have to put him on waivers, and then he wouldn't have a choice on where to go. And, you know, obviously a team like Edmonton or one of the bottom feeder teams would grab him. So that's why, you know, Montreal's kind of went back to him and said, well, if you don't do this, we're going to put you on waivers, and then sorry. Because, you know, teams would – if you could get Josh Georges for nothing, Edmonton would be, you know, clawing over Florida to try to get him.
Yeah, no, for sure. Georges is a good player, and he's a good, well-liked, well-respected teammate. He's a leader in the dressing room. He's an honest player, blocks a ton of shots, got lots of playoff experience. and he's a stabilizing factor for a guy that playing next to him. Look what he's done for PK Subban the last couple of years. He very quietly has just sat next to him and had his back the whole time. And that's what Justin Schultz needs, just a wily veteran who's rock solid. So, Josh Georges would be a good, good get for the Oilers. Even at the dollars he's at now, he would be fine. I'm sure they would love to have him, but I don't know. I mean, apparently Brendan Shanahan's trying like heck to convince him to come to Toronto, but they're having a hard time with that. So, he would be a good get for the Oilers for sure. I just don't know if it's going to be in the cards for them or not.
Honestly, if you were Josh Georges, would you rather go to Edmonton or Toronto?
I guess it depends on what your priorities are. Honestly, it depends.
Toronto is that much closer to winning than Edmonton?
No, I wouldn't say that. Okay. No. And I would say that the Oilers probably have more upside in their lineup. And over the next 4 or 5 years, you'd say they probably were going to be as close to winning as the Leafs. But I don't know what Josh Georges' priorities are. I mean, Josh Georges has put in, let me see here, 7 years in one of the most intense Canadian markets that you can possibly play in. And in that time has played 35 playoff games. So got a little bit of a few playoff runs in him. You know, maybe Josh Georges is looking to get a little bit out of the fire. He has to do media every day of his life in Montreal because he's one of the good guys and never says no. Maybe he's looking to, you know, go somewhere where he has a chance to win, but where also it's a little bit of a different type of pressure. You know, he's kind of put in his time in that role. So I haven't talked to Josh Georges. I'm purely speculating. But there wasn't a single Canadian team on his list, his original list of 15, and maybe that tells you something.
Yeah, fair enough. Grabowski, I know the advanced stats guys love him. Have you heard anything that the Oilers are chatting with him? I know McTavish brought his name up unsolicited, mentioning they need a forward like him, but I couldn't get any confirmation from agent that they've had any serious discussion with the Oilers. Have you?
No confirmation that there's been serious discussion. I the Oilers are interested. I think flat out, I think it's safe to say the Oilers are interested in Mikhail Grabowski. He fits the bill for a guy that can come in and play as a second or third center, depending on what's happening with Draisaitl, can produce some offense, maybe won't cost him too much. They'd probably feel comfortable. He's only 30 years old with a 3-year deal. I think they're interested in this player. I think that they've probably pursued him to a certain extent, and it would make sense to me that they have. But again, some more small skill down the middle. It's not ideal, but you're not always going to find the ideal thing in free agency, and the Oilers need a stopgap right now. And so maybe he's a guy that makes sense.
Yeah, we'll see, Shogart. Quickly, bold prediction. Oilers in free agency, I say one defenseman and a center. What do you say?
Yeah, I say they get, if you were to say, I say they're talking about at the end of free agency tomorrow, they end up with Fane, they end up with Gotch, and they end up with Derek Englund. So I'll say three guys at the end of the day. I think those three right now are probably, if I were to have to bet something, I'd probably bet on at least two of those three. And if they get lucky, maybe they end up with a true second-line center.
Well, let's not go that far, but we'll see. A true second-line center. I'm not sure there is. Well, there's some available in free agency, but I don't see Paul Stastny or those type of guys coming to Edmonton.
Yeah. Well, you never know. I mean, sometimes you just throw a silly number down and you can get something done. And the one thing the Oilers have right now is the ability, as long as it's a short-term deal, to pay out some pretty intense money, as Nikita Nikitin just found out. Now, they can't do that too many more times. Maybe they can't even do that again. But if it gets you the right person, maybe it's a thing you got to go do. Dan Boyle for 2 years would do the Oilers pretty nicely. But again, what are the chances he's coming here?
Yeah, I don't see a veteran like that trying to end his career in a rebuild. So we'll see.
Yep.
Surprise. All right, Shogart, we'll talk in free agency.
Okay, buddy. Enjoy.